This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, local environmental activists are really excited about a new film that they are being asked to share by running screenings across the UK. The film's called The People's National Emergency Briefing. Behind this is an organisation calling themselves, fittingly, the National Emergency Briefing, and that is exactly what they are asking for, an emergency briefing to the nation on the climate and nature emergency. Simon Aldridge is co-founder of the National Emergency Briefing, and I spoke to him to find out what it's all about. I started by asking what had inspired him to make the about turn from a life in accountancy and business to giving all his attention to the climate and nature crisis.
I became increasingly concerned about climate from back in the early 2000s working in a business with my brother. And we spent a lot of time trying to achieve carbon neutrality. And it took me into the world of learning more and more about climate change. And that came first before nature collapse. I learned about that a lot later. I became more and more alarmed that there seemed to be a disconnect between the alarm coming from the science community and just people carrying on their daily lives, not really aware of how serious things are.
I mean, I would say that there are a multitude of action groups already out there. So what's the kind of gap that you hope to fill?
There are, of course, fantastic groups out there, so many fantastic groups. What we were specifically aiming to do with the National Emergency Briefing was to plug the gap that I increasingly became aware of speaking to people on social media who would say, well, look, if it was that serious, the government would be talking about it, wouldn't it? So it's just all you woke NGOs making a fuss about nothing and we've got more important things to worry about. That got me thinking, well, where's the COVID-style briefing that we had at the start of the pandemic that really drove it home that this was serious and that government was taking it seriously? And actually, we've seen for years, but particularly recently, there have been some stark examples of the government reflexively deciding to suppress some of the more concerning warnings, like the suppressed national security assessment from the Joint Intelligence Chiefs, warning about all the impacts of nature loss, a recent report on food system collapse. And so we decided that the government was not stepping in and fulfilling its role to make the public aware of these threats. And we decided that we would do it for them and try and encourage them into a position where they would do a briefing to the public.
So you've said that you were hearing information that you found very alarming from scientists, but you weren't getting the same kind of message from politicians. So information and misinformation is obviously a big problem in the climate space. Why should people listen to what you have to say?
They shouldn't. And that's why the whole premise here is that we decided to assemble a group of leading experts in their field from across all the dimensions of the interconnected crisis: climate, nature, extreme weather, tipping points, food, health, national security, economics, and the green transition. And these people are all really respected. They're great communicators, and they are prepared to say it like it is. And those people are very highly trusted amongst the public.
So your aim is an emergency briefing to the nation. But as you say, your first step was to assemble your trusted experts on the climate and nature crisis and take them to Westminster last November. Tell us what you did there.
So we hired Westminster Central Hall, which is a very grand venue. And this was an invitation-only event for MPs and peers and leaders from business, faith, sport, media, culture. The idea was to give them a briefing, a sort of executive summary of the entire interconnected crisis. And that's something that hasn't really happened before. You know, we've had the COP climate conferences and the nature COPs. They're very sort of detailed in their own particular domain. This was a walk right across all of the aspects of this crisis, but with a particular focus on what it means for people here in the UK. That's what motivates people to act. And of course, there are other countries who are far more on the front line of climate change than us, but we become a little bit desensitized by hearing stories of the suffering that those people endure. So we wanted to bring it home and talk about what it means for people here in the UK, and not far off in the future, but now and in the next 10 years. So that briefing was 2.5 hours with a Q&A afterwards. This was the first phase to bring these influential people together, bring their levels of understanding up, and set the ground for a second phase, which is all about going out much more widely to the public right across the country.
So how did your briefing to these very influential people go down? Did they take it seriously? Have they been acting?
We were really pleased with how the event went. Lots of connections were made by people who were then really motivated to go away and act. You can have a look on our website, nebriefing.org, and if you click on the testimonials page, you'll see lots of the comments from people who attended the event. And actually, the overarching sentiment was that it was cathartic in a way to hear this all presented together in one concise summary, but crucially, with the positive story as well. And this was something that was really important in our briefing to the scientists, that we had to lay down the hard facts that not enough people are aware of, in particular about the scale and the immediacy of this crisis, but also talk about the huge benefits that we can achieve if we take the emergency action that scientists say is necessary. So we actually have people saying that it was a combination of lots of concern and worry, but at the same time, they had this hope. A lot of people saying that for the first time they felt that there was a pathway through this, because if we could collectively face this together and bring people together around this message and start spreading the word with MPs, then that's the first step in moving towards a better future by embracing these positive solutions that are there. We know what to do. We just need to do it at a much faster pace, at emergency pace, like we did in the preparation for the Second World War.
I believe that the briefing that you did in November went down very well, and you obviously got some very good feedback, but I can't say that I've noticed any different from MPs, and they've got so much to worry about, haven't they? You know, there seems to be fighting breaking out all over the world. There's the cost of living crisis. The doctors are going on strike. Seriously, how do they have headspace? How do we have headspace for climate change?
At the event, we think there were maybe around 100 MPs there, but those were the MPs who were broadly on board with this. And so we were not expecting great change coming from this. This was about arming people who were already curious or have open minds with the facts that they need to move forwards and with the confidence that we've got the positive solutions that they can really advocate for. Now, absolutely, there are so many things going wrong in the world at the moment, but our National Security Speaker, Lieutenant General Richard Nugent, really emphasizes the point that climate change and our security threats are inextricably bound together. He gave the example of Ukraine, where Russia has been unable to knock their electricity grid below around 50%. And one of the main reasons for that, heavily renewables based. And you can't take renewables out with a missile or two because it's distributed. And so it's far more secure. General Nugent also spoke about the instability that was going to be created in the world as regions start to suffer from drought and crop failure that ties up our military forces and makes us weaker. Food price spirals and even food shortages coupled with cascading crises of extreme weather events hitting us over and over again before we have the ability to pull ourselves back onto our feet. So this is not something that can be ignored. And the solutions for climate change are actually going to make us wealthier. It's very well demonstrated by lots of respected economic organizations, by the Climate Change Committee, by the Institute of Actuaries, that action on climate change is going to make this country better off. Of course, there's money to be spent up front, but that's an investment. It's an investment that carries a return. So the Climate Change Committee have shown that we need something like $317 billion up front. But once we get to zero carbon, we'll be saving around 40 billion every single year. Now, that, I come from running a business. That's a fantastic investment. And it's not just that. We'll have cleaner air, nature being restored. I should add that, of course, if we don't act, it's not a zero cost alternative. There's a huge cost of inaction. The Institute and Faculty of Actuaries put that cost at a 50% hit on GDP from 2070 if we carry on our current trajectory. So there really isn't an alternative. And I do have sympathy for some of the fantastic people in government really trying to make things work, like Ed Miliband. But doing more than we've done before isn't enough. We've got to do enough to avoid these calamitous outcomes. The politicians sitting in the hot seat at the moment are just going to have to step up and face it, because if they don't, they will be the ones that have passed up on the opportunity for us to avoid this sort of calamitous future.
Okay. So you've now produced a 50-minute film that isn't just for influential people. You want us all to see this. So can you tell us what you've put in the film?
So the film, it contains clips of the expert talks at the event, mixed in with some footage from interviews that we conducted with the experts individually. So there's a sort of human angle, how they feel about all of this. We then showed those clips to ordinary members of the public from across the UK and across society. They sat and watched those clips with the host of the film, Chris Packham, who did a fantastic job drawing out what those people felt about what they watched. And then there are some better known faces in there, Jennifer Saunders and Deborah Meaden. And by having those reactions from ordinary people, it helps humanize things. It makes it more watchable. And I think it helps people emotionally process what they're experiencing. We also have been very careful to make sure that we've got the positive stories in there. I'm an optimist about this. And I feel that if we can just get enough people to come together and show their local MPs that there is broad support for action, for doing a lot more, then we can create a much better country for ourselves, a much better future. Now, some people will say, well, what about China? But let's not underestimate the influence we have here in the UK. If we, as one of the first countries to industrialize and therefore played our part in kicking this whole problem off, if we become a country that shows how you face up to the challenge and act on the science advice, ignoring the paid lobbyists, the vested interests who are trying to stall progress, but moving forward positively and making life better for people by insulating homes at emergency pace. So I'm talking about scaffolding running down every house on the street, super efficient, much cheaper than it would normally cost, converting to heat pumps, a massive build out in public transport, huge work to restore nature, which could operate at a much bigger scale if the government makes more effort to try and encourage people to shift diets. If we did all that, that's going to cut people's bills. It's going to make their lives better. It's going to clean their air, quieten their streets. And it's going to give us a purpose. It's going to give us a national purpose that I think could bring people together. If we did all that as a nation, just imagine the positive message that would send to other countries in the world. We're not going to win this by shouting at other countries who aren't acting. But if we stop doing that and actually take a positive approach to this, show how good things can be if we embrace a 21st century energy system, and if we start valuing nature and put it at the heart of government so that this drives everything else, then we can send that positive example out. And I think we would see other countries following suit. We have to show a pathway for others to follow. And I think that leadership by example works. And that's where I get my motivation and my hope from.
Indeed. So you'd like us to look at our own local screening of the People's National Emergency Briefing film. What else do you want us to do?
Well, if you go to our website, nebriefing.org, you can have a look at the Get Involved page. Yes, the first thing we would really like people to do is to attend a screening of the film. And we have an interactive screening map, so you can zoom around and have a look at screenings near you. These screenings are all put on by community groups around the country. If there isn't one near you, perhaps you would host one. we provide a really comprehensive pack on how to do that with all sorts of support and guidance. And then talk to your friends and family. That's how change happens. We're trying to play a part in creating a societal tipping point towards genuine emergency action on this crisis. And tipping points happen when everyone starts speaking about something. And then please engage with your MP. We need to show them, we, the sort of otherwise silent majority, need to show them that there is support for them to put their head above the parapet. What we're asking MPs to do is to sign up to our parliamentary call for the government to stage a televised emergency briefing on the climate and nature crisis, you know, a COVID-style briefing with independent experts. So please ask them to add their name to that. They may not be convinced, so see if you can get them to come along to a screening of the film where they watch with everyone else and to talk about it afterwards. Beyond that, I think it's just a question of MPs knowing that we've got their back. We know from polling that MPs very significantly underestimate the appetite for action on the climate and nature crisis. So it's up to us to show that support for MPs, because if we can then get the government to do a televised emergency briefing, we think that changes everything. You can't stand up and say warming looks like it's accelerated and that we're at risk of food shortages without then offering a much more ambitious plan. And I think ambition is what people want. So let's all push together. Let's try and show a path out of this crisis.
My thanks to Simon Aldridge, co-founder of the National Emergency Briefing. Now, there's a screening of the 50-minute People's National Emergency Briefing scheduled in St. Albans Cathedral on the evening of the 19th of April, and that's being organised by a group, amongst others, a local GP, the Salvation Army, community leaders, as well as people already engaged in environmental activism. There's also showings currently scheduled in Knebworth, Letchworth, Baldock, Buntingford, but new screenings are being added across Hertfordshire all the time. I'll pop a link to the National Emergency Briefing website into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for joining me.